This is the Miguel Show Uncensored, where we talk about everything and anything under the sun, and there are no restrictions. Get off my junk, FCC.
Wow.
Get off my jock. We have Holly O'Connor here.
Hi.
We have producer Nikki.
Hi.
And I am Miguel. First off, before we get into anything, we got to talk about the VMAs last night.
Yes, please, let's.
Also, personally, because we didn't get to talk a lot about this during the show today, is that we had our very first hot watch party, which was a major success. We had about 40 listeners come up to the radio station, our performance studio, and we got to watch it with them. And like Nikki was like doing the social media with our afternoon guy, Chase, and Holly and I were like hosting on stage, and it was terrific. I'm so tired.
Yeah. That's a blast. I was thinking as we were getting into the middle of it, I was like, this is so much fun. Yeah. It actually eventually turned out to feel like you were in a big living room with your friends.
Yes.
Like the listeners were interacting with us. It was so much fun. The bad thing is that all those award shows happen on Sunday.
Yeah.
And we got to wake up at damn 3:45 the next day.
And it's on Eastern. Because Holly and I, we lived in Panama City where it was Central Time.
Central Time is like a unicorn morning show people.
Seriously, I miss that so much because that show would have started at 8 o'clock and would have been done at 10. And then you're like, this is perfect.
I had a mental breakdown on Sunday because I know, like, if I know that there's a pre-show and then the VMAs. Mm-hmm. I know the award show doesn't start at 7:30, but apparently it did not, like, get in my head.
Oh.
And the promos were playing, and all I knew is I had to be here at 7:15, and then all of a sudden, award show starts at 9. That's what it said on TV. And I was like, wait.
I know.
Wait, that means it doesn't get over till 11, but they always run late. I was like, I go to bed 7:30.
Yeah. 9 is like my usual mosey on into the bedroom time. Not let's get it started time.
I'm about to say, it was last night. I had so much fun, but literally the last hour, I was struggling. Because what would happen is, you know, we would have our huge, huge screen where they're playing the VMAs. And then during commercial breaks, we'd get up and talk and, like, you know, you comment on something that happened and talk to listeners. I think, like, the last two commercial breaks, I just let them play music. Because I was like, my brain is done.
I have nothing else.
You were getting crazy.
I was
loopy.
Exhausted. That's what happens. I get loopy and I just start saying stuff I shouldn't be saying.
True.
But just to kind of go over what happened last night. So Taylor Swift and Nicki Minaj, their performance together, that even though it was clearly very orchestrated and organized as a, like, here's our shocking moment, I thought that was fantastic for a shocking moment.
Yeah.
Because you did not expect to see as Nicki Minaj was doing Anaconda and then old Taylor pops out in the back.
Yep.
And they're like, okay, get it, girl.
Yeah, that was a very public crossing and building of the bridges between the two who had previously been feuding a little bit via Twitter. So I thought that was cool. I thought that was a definite shocker. I didn't even expect that at all.
Now, here's the thing. On a scale of, like, shocking moments from the openers of MTV, like, I remember being in college when it was Britney and Madonna they kissed, and then no one ever remembers or shows that Madonna kissed Christina Aguilera as
well. I know. Mm-hmm. I feel so bad for Christina. I don't even like her that much, but I'm like, you know she kissed Madonna, too.
I know. They forget about that. But I remember being in my friend Tyler's dorm room watching the VMAs, and we were like, and then, like, we, like, went out into the hallways and we were like, did you see? Oh, my God. That's so crazy.
Our big college moment was when Elton John and then Eminem came out.
Oh,
slash,
I remember
I'm old.
That.
I get it. But it was huge. That was my freshman year.
That's
and,
right.
Like, we were like, oh, he did. But they and the he don't hate the gays. It was real.
That's right. Because wasn't that when Eminem, like, marched in with, like, all those lookalikes and then Elton was on there playing the piano? Because there was a controversy that he'd been saying faggot and all, you know, the F word.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Elton John's up there. See, so
I think actually MTV, what they do well is they bridge cultures and wars in the beginning and then they let the people who still have some beef stewing over here, let it go. So they're all about making friends in the beginning. And then
now, do you think that this moment with Nicki and Taylor will stand out as one of those memorable moments?
No.
Had it been Taylor and Katy Perry?
Oh!
Yes.
True.
Katy Perry wasn't even there, guys. No. Where's Katy? Like, what has she been doing with her
True.
Life?
Well, she hadn't put out an album. Has it been 2 years, maybe,
Something
since
like
Prism
that.
Came out? But it may. But that, you know what? You're yeah. right. If they would have had Taylor perform and then have Katy come out.
Yeah.
But
what would have been the best is if, and but Katy would never, never do this, if Taylor had been performing Bad Blood and then Katy had come out with that and
yes.
they had, like, somehow
yes.
hugged or got
but
on the same team.
But also Left Shark is there, too.
Yeah. Like, it would have been great. But see, the reason I say this never would have happened is because that would have made Taylor Swift look like the bigger person.
Mm.
And also, Katy Perry looks secondary to Taylor Swift,
right,
which
she
will
never
do. So that would have been the standout moment. But this was cool.
No,
yeah,
it was
no,
great.
It was,
it was good. It was shocking, but it I don't think it's something that we'll remember
no.
you know, in a couple of years. So then Bieber crying
yeah.
after his performance of What Do You Mean?
Very emotional. I thought that was such a turning point for him.
What I thought was interesting was being at the viewing party and being there with some of the Beliebers. And after that was done and we went on stage to you know, in the performance theater, and like some of those girls had like tears in their eyes. And it was shocking to me because I felt the emotion. But I guess what it's really shocking is I don't, like we say Beliebers, but I don't really know anyone who is that much on the Justin Bieber camp.
It's because they've had to be in hiding these last several years because he's been such a douchebag.
And so you could tell that they were all kind of like, this is our moment. Like,
yeah.
This is our moment. So I felt really, I thought as a person who sort of, as we all have watched this little boy, you know, be cute and he's like the next big thing, to like being a complete, utter douchebag, to like maybe, hopefully, is this his moment where he will actually be a normal human being?
I think so. I really do.
I hope so. I mean, because I thought it was really humanizing. Because he easily could have, like, choked back the tears and just been like, whatever, I got this. But the fact that he let it out, I thought that was a really cool moment.
It was. And I think this is a turning point for him. Obviously, everyone's human. He'll probably have a few mess-ups. But, I mean, if we can sort of accept Chris Brown again.
True.
Why on earth are we not accepting Justin Bieber?
Holly, I think that needs to be Justin Bieber's Twitter handle. You accepted Chris Brown. Please accept me.
Yeah.
I didn't beat a girl.
That's exactly. real long.
True.
Yeah.
And then last night, Nicki and Miley with that whole situation.
That I thought was huge because we knew that Nicki and Miley were going to have an issue. Miley having earlier said that she thought Nicki was not polite when Nicki said, why isn't Anaconda nominated for Best Video of the Year?
Nicki's never been polite, so
no.
I don't know why she's all up in arms about it.
No, and I think Miley was kind of, what she was trying to do is sort of state the obvious. She's like, that's Nicki being Nicki.
Yeah.
Like, it is what it is. And so I sort of think that's where Miley was coming from. I think MTV orchestrated for Nicki to be like, you know, oh, what it do, Miley?
To be Roman or whatever that
right.
character is.
To slip into her Roman character where she's very confrontational. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Miley kind of hit it back to her where she's like, congratulations.
Oh.
And so you see Nicki throwing shade. But then when Miley went on and said, I didn't win an award and it's fine.
Oh.
I think that was real.
Yeah.
I think that was Miley being like, can you please stop, Nicki?
I don't know. The whole thing to me smells like a fabrication.
I really think the whole thing was, except for Miley's follow-up.
I would really love to like sit in the meetings to see, like, do they have secret meetings? Or like, all right, so this year, in like every quarter hour, or no, every half hour, we need like one talk about moment.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And they're like, let's plant these seeds here. Or like, you know, because obviously they could have easily, you know, had Nicki Minaj accept the award and then go into commercial break.
Mm-mm.
But they had to put Miley up
yeah,
there to do
that. They orchestrated
that.
It. And
yeah.
it is definitely several people's jobs
yeah.
to say, how can we get the most mileage out of this show? Because
right.
people expect it. When you don't have these moments, MTV has failed.
Yes.
No, that's true. That's true. Because that's the whole purpose. Mm-hmm. Not like, you won't remember who won, like,
no.
best whatever
Nobody
video.
Ever.
It,
the
no.
VMAs are yeah. all about shocking moments.
That's
and
true.
That was one of them. I think second only to Kanye West.
Kanye West, like, can we just for a minute talk about how I, for a hot second, when he was telling the story about being booed in front of, what, 60,000
mm-hmm.
people, I was like, oh my God, we are about to see a complete PR makeover for someone. We are about to see the world change their view on Kanye West. And then 5 seconds later, it's like the train just went off the track.
Yep.
And I was like, well, you've just squandered it more.
Yeah. What he Kanye Wested himself.
What was he talking about? Like, do we even know?
Nobody knows.
Like, what he... Like, I think A little bit, and I can sort of see where he was trying to go. And once I had some moments to wrap my brain, I think he was trying to say he doesn't understand why award shows exist, because everyone puts out this music and it's all great music, and now you're basically boxing them into categories. Mm-hmm. You're boxing their art into a category.
I think that's what he was doing, but he was being Kanye, and he doesn't necessarily, isn't very eloquent.
No. Or know the right platform.
Yes.
Like the award show trying to complain about.
That they're
about.
Giving you an artist award for. And not only that, like, so you're telling me now that Kanye West is on the train of everybody gets honorable mention awards?
No.
Like, that's sort of like what we're dealing with in America right now. Like, do you give all kids on the middle school team an award for showing up, or do you give it to the kid who did the best?
I think it's sort of a contradiction, because, I mean, when you think about...
Because he wants to be recognized.
Yeah, because...
Because there is no bigger fan of Kanye West than Kanye West, mm-hmm. and he wants recognition. Mm-hmm. He wants recognition...
I'm the greatest.
Yeah, and he also wants recognition for people like CeeLo, for Beyonce, who mm-hmm. maybe... Okay, well, Beyonce is celebrated a damn enough, but like people like CeeLo, he is like their underdog. He's their fighter. Mm-hmm. How are you going to be their fighter when you're also advocating for there not to be any winners and for us all to celebrate everyone? He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
Because then at the same time, like, if we're going to like prop up, you know, like CeeLo, because he said that, you know, CeeLo, which I'm pretty sure that wherever CeeLo was did not appreciate
being
Kanye
called out
West
for crying.
He was crying at the Grammys, but he
didn't win.
Justin
was crying.
No, Justin wasn't crying. Like, I had read a whole new article this
tired.
Morning. Yeah, I know. Well, it was confusing. This is why he was confusing.
True.
Justin Timberlake, I think it was E! Online, was like, Justin Timberlake responds to being slammed by Kanye. Kanye was basically slamming Justin Timberlake in 2013. Justin Timberlake won an award for Future Sex Love Sounds, and mm-hmm. CeeLo didn't that year, and Kanye was saying CeeLo should have. Mm. Sorry about you, Justin. And so Justin was like, you're cute, Kanye.
Yeah.
Because, like, honestly, I really think that we have propped up Kanye West because of our own doing. Like, it's our own fault that we allow this to continue to happen.
That's true.
But Kanye West has actually done a good job of remaining relevant with all this BS that he keeps spewing.
True.
The problem is, he legitimately has no point ever. And if he does, he has no idea how to make it known. And the problem is, we keep thinking he's going to get there.
You hope.
He's
you
not.
Hope.
He's
you
not.
Hope.
He's just not. Like, let him do what he's a great music maker.
Right.
He is not a political activist. As much as he'd like to be the next, like, big change maker, do it through your music. Don't do it through your speeches.
Is there any way for us as a society to, like, take away his mouth, like...
No, and here's the problem. Like, he actually married into the family that is known for doing this for a living. Like, think about the Kardashians. Like,
true.
They don't really have a message either, but we sure want to hear about them.
But we're like... And that was interesting when we were at the Nikki loves them. Well, when we asked some of the listeners, you know, like, what do you like about the Kardashians? Like, what's your favorite thing? Like... They really, like, Nikki, why do you love the Kardashians? Why?
I don't necessarily love all the Kardashians, but I love Khloe. But also, like, pop culture and celebrity gossip is my guilty pleasure. I love, like, learning about people and seeing the drama going on in their life.
I think it's a way to unplug from your real life and just go mindless for a little bit.
So it's like escapism, basically?
Yeah. Like, I'll say reality TV is my guilty pleasure. I watch shitty shows because... Like, most of the time I'm looking at news and stuff like that, like real life going on. Reality TV's fake, and I literally, it's mindless for me.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what most people use it for, escapism.
Mm-hmm. Okay, granted, because I haven't watched the show before. I've watched, you know how, like, sometimes you'll go by E, mm-hmm. and you'll stop, and then there'll be, like, a marathon on.
Oh, those marathons are real good.
Oh, my gosh. And, like, I've caught a couple of episodes here and there, but I've never consistently watched it all the way through. But, like... Is it as entertaining as, like for me, like, I love The Real Housewives of Atlanta. Like,
I don't.
That, to me, is, like, that's my escapism. Like, that's my funny, crazy.
But it comes from the same place.
Yes, it does. Yes, it...
Because I look at both of those shows, and I think
and
they're both
the
mindless. Because I don't want... Other than Big Brother, which is a different animal altogether, it's like a competition show.
Right.
I don't watch any reality TV that is, like, you know, just
character-based. It's just about people's
lives, right. I don't watch any of it. And to me, I will put it in the same category. Like, you can try to tell me that they're different, mm-hmm. and I'm sure that they have different premises, but it's all,
it's all
mindless, it's all stuff,
right.
That's pre-written,
yes.
That's dramatic.
Yeah. God.
That's why people love it.
It makes me sad that I'm sucked into it as well.
Don't judge me.
I mean, I'm not judging. I'm just trying to understand. Like, to me, like, I can tell you that, like, I love the... And because Nene on Real Housewives of Atlanta, she just left the show. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Probably because of Phaedra, I'll still watch because she's funny. But, like, if she left the show, I'd be done watching it. So, but I don't understand, like, what's kept... Like, the Kardashians don't strike me as, like, funny. Like, they don't...
There's humor there.
Yeah.
From what I've seen, like, especially when it comes to Khloé, I think.
Right.
She's
okay.
My favorite. Her and Scott together are, like, the best. Sorry.
There's a lot of going back and forth between them. Like, you know. And it's the same.
Yeah.
It's
okay. I'm just trying to wrap my brain around it and understand.
Yeah.
So we have to unfortunately keep dealing with Kanye West.
But I just think we're trying to put him in the wrong place.
Right.
Like, let us just look at him as an entertainer who puts out amazing music and does not necessarily come with an amazing message. Like, he wants to be that person. He's not. It's sort of like when you expect pro football players to also give good interviews off the field.
No.
Like, don't make them do that.
No,
their job is to play football on Sunday or whatever and be the best that they can at that.
Right.
And then we're, like, disappointed when they stutter on an interview or, like, they say the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. That's not what they're for. They're there to play football. They're not there to do, like, an amazing interview. Same thing with Kanye West. Like, he's there to put out amazing music. You're also trying to get a social message from him?
Like, girl, no.
He's also there to dance really well to The Weeknd.
Yeah.
Like,
can we all appreciate Taylor Swift dancing? Like, any award show?
I think Kanye was better than Taylor. MTV put out an article, and it's like Kanye, Taylor. Kanye, Taylor. But I feel like Kanye had those moves.
Yeah, it's because he was high, and so he didn't mind busting out a few moves and actually smiling. Like, that's what happens when he's high. Maybe he should be high more often.
Maybe.
And can I just pose a question? What, because he said he was getting high before he got there. So, because Kim Kardashian is pregnant. Were they in the same limo? Was he smoking around her while she's pregnant?
We can only assume no.
I feel like Kanye's a great dad.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he takes being a parent very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Is what I feel like. And they seem to be very protective of Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
She's not really on the show.
Keeping
Up with the Kardashians.
Okay.
They talk about her like once, like maybe there's a little cameo once a season.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, and Kanye's not really on it either.
Oh,
like,
I didn't
he's
know.
Not
okay.
Like, so Kim, I think Kim shielding. Being protective of them and keeping it
two separate lives,
which is good.
Yeah, and that's not to say that other parents don't also get high.
Yeah,
or,
I think I think who know? I don't. He might
I guess because when he said that, I was like, I feel like you're telling on yourself a little bit here. Like,
I feel like you don't know the story. Like, we don't know.
Right. I mean, that's why it's just I'm posing the question.
The thing is, he could have not even been high. He could have just been saying that. To say that.
Right.
You never know with Kanye.
That's the theme of the night with Miley Cyrus.
And if he was, like, we'll hope that he didn't blow it up in Kim's face.
Oh, dear.
I'm guessing he didn't. Because, like I said, I'm guessing other normal people do such things. Like, other pregnant wives have husbands who smoke pot.
Right.
But they just don't put it up in their face.
Oh, and before we go, another quick moment that I loved was the drag queens that came out at the end with Miley Cyrus. I don't know what the hell that song was, Miley Cyrus.
It's free though. I don't know.
Yeah, the whole album is free. Can you see what the title of it's called? But like literally, because Holly, you had left by then, and
had to go home.
Drive getting home when she sang it.
Yeah.
But I think literally the whole song was like, I like pot. I like pot. FFF. I like pot. FFF. And then like all these drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race came out, and then one of them did a death drop.
What's that? It's when they like fall out flat on the floor.
Yeah, with like, their leg pointed out.
Yeah.
And they like fall on the floor.
Oh Lord.
And Mama, death drop, yes!
Okay.
It's called Do It.
Do It. Okay, Do It, where she basically is proclaiming her love for pot and whatnot.
Like, guess what, Miley? We got it.
I'm pulling up the lyrics.
If anybody didn't get that Miley Cyrus likes to get high, you know what I was thinking, actually, while I was getting ready for work this morning?
Mm-hmm.
Remember back in the day, like, in between when Miley Cyrus sang, what was that video where she had the wings coming out? Like, it was actually a good post-Hannah Montana song. I'm talking like 2008, Miley.
I know exactly.
I can't be tamed.
I can't be tamed.
okay, between I Can't Be Tamed and she turned into what she is now, there was a moment when we didn't know what was happening with Miley Cyrus. And I remember this because I was still doing entertainment on a morning show at that time. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing that came out was that there was a video of her smoking that
Salvia, yeah.
And we were like, oh no, Disney girl gone wrong. Okay, look at Miley now. That was just the tip of the MF and iceberg.
Can I just leave you with this?
Oh, please do.
Yeah, I smoke pot. Yeah, I love peace, but I don't give a fuck. I ain't no hippie. Yeah, I smoke pot. Do it. Yeah, I love peace. Do it. But I don't give a fuck. I ain't no hippie. Do it.
The lyricist of our generation.
Our generation.
I love
Miley
her.
Cyrus.
I love her.
Okay. All right, we're done. Holly, what's your social media?
Radio Holly.
Nikki?
Nikki off air.
And mine is Miguel Fuller. If you have any questions you'd like us to answer or to talk about, send me an email, miguel@hot1015tampabay.com. Bye.